Open now thy gates of beauty, Zion, let me enter there, where my soul in joyful duty waits for him who answers prayer. Oh, how blessed is this place, filled with solace, light, and grace. Gracious God, I come before thee. Come thou also unto me, where we find thee and adore thee. There a heaven on earth must be. Be thy temple now. Here thy praise is gladly chanted. Here thy seed is duly sown. Let my soul, where it is planted, bring forth precious sheaves alone. So faith increase and quicken, let me keep thy gift divine. Howsoe'er temptations thicken, may thy word still o'er me shine as my guiding star through life, as my comfort in all strife. Speak, O God, and I will hear thee. Let thy will be done indeed. May I undisturbed draw near thee, while thou dost thy people feed.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of Divine Service 1, which is printed in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us,
forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up.
You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down.
And are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue,
Behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You hem me in, behind and before.
And lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit?
Or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me,
and your right hand shall hold me.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. A heads up to any children that might come forwards for the children's message. I'll be asking questions about this reading right now. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he has told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The choir can come forwards for the anthem.
Thank you.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take members of Christ to make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia in verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. If there's any children that would like to come forwards, you can come forwards at this time.
Speak, O Lord, your servant listens. Let your word to me, come near. Newborn life and a spirit give me. Let each promise still my fear. Death's dread power, its inward strife, wars against your word of life. Fill me, Lord, with love's strong fervor, that I cling to you forever. Oh, what blessing to be near you and to listen to your voice. Let me ever love and hear you. Let your word be now my choice. Many hard and sinners, Lord, flee in terror at your word. But to all who feel sin's burden, you give words of peace and pardon. Lord, your words are waters living. When my thirsting spirit pleads, Lord, your words are bread life-giving. On your words my spirit feeds. Lord, your words will be my light through death's cold and dreary night. Yes, they are my sword prevailing and my cup of joy unfailing. As I pray, dear Jesus, hear me. Let your words in me take root. May your spirit e'er be near me, that I bear abundant fruit. May I daily sing your praise, from my heart glad anthems raise, till my highest praise is given in the endless joy of heaven.
This morning's sermon is based on that first reading we had from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'll reflect on a number of those verses that we heard. To start, I read from a different passage about Samuel, a verse from Psalm 99, verse 6. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, this is a little addition to the outline there. You may have heard me say to the children, I'm sure you did, well, sometimes, once in a while, God may speak with a voice to us like he did to Samuel. Our trustworthy word comes from God's word. But if a Christian, a faithful Christian, tells me, you know, Pastor, once I heard Jesus speaking to me, or once I saw Jesus and he was comforting me, both those have been told to me, or once when I was a pastor out in South Dakota, I had a pilot. In fact, he was a crop dusting pilot. And he said, Pastor, I was in a really bad rainstorm. And there was an angel on the wing, and I knew I was safe. And he says, nobody believes me. I said, I believe you. We don't know when God ministers and saves, comforts us, saves us. And once in a while, it may be like that. But he's always pointing us back to Christ. If somebody tells you that and the person never goes to church, well, then I have a problem. Because certainly God would want us to hear the message of Jesus, the gospel, be with fellow Christians. Well, this is how Samuel was. He was serving God. It's really not surprising that God would speak to him in this way. For his mother had brought him, when he had weaned, we often say about 3 years old, had brought him to be at the temple full time and to be helping out. And so by this time, he had grown up and he was, it thought about maybe 12. And it's a hard time in Israel. A lot of things were going wrong. The people had settled in their places. Joshua had led them in. And the different tribal groups of the people had different areas of the land assigned to them. And there were judges helping them solve problems with their enemies. Gideon and Samson. And Samuel also is called one of the last judge, or the last judge. So there was somehow peace that was settled in, but there was problems. And their worship, their spiritual life was not right. It says right there at the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. People weren't listening. It's not as if the books of Moses were not there. It's not as if the whole rules and set up for the tabernacle and all the sacrifices and so were not there. They were there. But they weren't listening. Part of that not listening problem was, while Eli, now the high priest, was getting older, and was going blind. And so he couldn't do much. It sounds like he wasn't doing much at all. And what we learn in chapter 2, the chapter right before, is that his sons, who should have been taking over in a faithful way, were not. They were corrupt. They were making people give them sacrifices more, far greater than what they should have been getting. They're forcing the people to give them more than that, what they should have gotten. They had led immoral lives, and they blasphemed God. And so the people, the sons who were supposed to take over for the high priest, were not even doing it, but they were making a mockery of the whole thing. So what would you do? If you go and make sacrifice and the guy in charge is telling you, no, you haven't given enough, give me more. Come on, more, 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 more. Somebody tells you that today, just turn around and go to somewhere else. And so the people, their worship life was fading down. There's some indication in the text even that the temple was not, the tabernacle, was not being cared for. I know how our elders, they're careful that these lights stay lit. That's a task. And if one or two go out, oh, how many services do we have? Why is that going out? Maybe that wick is pulled up a little bit far. I see smiling. I know you guys. Well, the candelabra, the seven candles in the tabernacle were supposed to stay lit night and day. They were not supposed to go out. You'd fill them out, you know, fill them up, but you'd have to have them stay lit. And that was the high priest and his sons and those serving the tabernacle. That was one of their jobs, to make it stay lit. And there's indications there that Samuel had to pick up the job at 12 years old. Eli was going blind, and the sons of Eli were corrupt, and nobody was taking care of the building, of the tent, the tabernacle. Samuel was doing it. He was serving. So that God would talk to Samuel is not really surprising, is it? Samuel was there in the tabernacle night and day from age 3 to 12. And not only taking care of the building, but taking care of his, let's call him, his boss, Eli. Eli's getting old. He can't do much anymore. When he calls at night, you go and help him. That's what Samuel did. And that's what his heart was at. You think about that. How this young man was helping out, keeping the candles lit, and whatever else had to be done at the tabernacle. Listening for Eli's voice when he might come, when he might call. And he calls him, he hears the voice 3 times. Gets up 3 times. My sons, if I called them 3 times and said it wasn't me, they'd be getting a little bit cranky. 3 times, lights out, power off, get cranky too. So, but Eli then perceived, okay, no, something's happening here. He's not dreaming. It's something going on. Lord, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Samuel had to have faith to do that and obedience to Eli and had to have respect for Eli to do that. What do you mean? I hear a voice, but who's the Lord? The text is clear. He didn't know God speaking to him like a prophet did. So there's a faith, a belief, an obedience in Samuel already for a long time, actually. And he listens and hears that voice. Speak, Lord. I'm listening. So, the times are hard, and the message is hard. The message is against Eli and against his 2 sons, against his whole household, in fact. Which, again, if you read chapter 2, the chapter before, you get all the background to that. And so it was a hard task for this about 12-year-old boy to tell his boss that God says your house is going to be punished and there's no sacrifice that can stop it because you have not obeyed God and your sons have sinned. There's still faith in Eli too. He says, well, the Lord has said it, let it be done. But right away, Samuel gets a hard task. He's been serving in the house of God, but now he has to speak a word of the Lord, a hard word of the Lord, to Eli. Now, God knew all this was going to happen. God was well aware of all the evil that was being done. Think of this. Remember, it's Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who was grieving because she had no child. And when she did have a child, she said, I will give this child to God for him to serve once the child is weaned. If you say she brought him to the temple about 3 years old, and say he is about 12 years, 9 years. God moved Hannah to have a baby. She became pregnant and moved Hannah to bring him to the temple, to grow up in the temple, to serve for 9 years, ready for God to call Samuel to take over because Eli and his sons were not right. God was planning on preparing all that out. In that hardship of Hannah and her grieving of not having a baby yet and then giving her son over to the temple, God was working through all that so that God's people would be served when the time for judgment against Eli and the sons came. God is well aware of any evil in our lives. He knows it. And he's preparing us and preparing things to go through those hard times. As he prepares us for good times, go through hard times too. We can come to faith as a young child or as a baby baptized, a young child later on, or as an adult. And God prepares us for later things in life. He prepares us for things that we may have to take care of a family member, or we may have to go through an illness or a tragedy. He's preparing us. He knows it's going to happen, and he knows how to prepare us. His call to us in our baptism, or is to be heard through the word, the first time we heard is through the word. His call to us takes root in us, leads us step by step along the way. He'll show us when we need to do this or that. But he knows all this has happened, what's going to happen. He knows all that will happen. So he's leading us along the way. Listening to God is really important to perceive, not only in the words of the scriptures just read and hit our ear, but the words of scripture as they hit us and make us think about our place in life and what we've gone through and what we will go through. That's really, really important. That is God speaking to us. If you hear a sermon or read a Bible reading or sing a hymn based on scripture, and that hits you, and you say, you know, that makes me think about this and this and this and this and this and this, and I see now what God was doing, and God was doing this, do not doubt, but know that is the Holy Spirit in you, showing you God's word in your life. Absolutely. And so he speaks to us in his word, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive to us, and we understand how it applies and what's going on. And we shouldn't have any doubts. That is God working in us. If you tell me you hear a voice, I'll say yes. And are you in church every Sunday? Because we need to be together. We need to hear his word together. Focus on Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for speaking to Samuel, for using him to help the people in very hard times, for setting their spiritual lives straight, for being a voice for you. We ask you also to help us listen to you in our lives through your word, through spiritual songs and hymns based on your word, that we may know you are always with us, you are watching over us. Even the hard times, you have known that that was going to happen. You have prepared us. You have prepared the way for us, as you prepared for Samuel. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we stand and sing the offertory. The offering may be brought up during the offertory.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name.
We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For confidence in the Lord's truth, that we may not fear deceit or opposition, but sing and proclaim his wondrous deeds in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that as God called Samuel, Philip, and Nathanael into his service, so he would be pleased now to call men into his ministry, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For delight in the Holy Scriptures, that by their light we may see and follow Jesus, the Son of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian households, especially for fathers, mothers, and children, that they may serve eagerly according to their station to the honor of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all rulers and leaders, especially President Biden and Governor DeWine, together with all legislatures and judges and local officials, that in saving faith they may ascribe to God the glory due his name and govern their people wisely, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who help us in times of trouble, danger, and need, for police and sheriff officers, National Guard and Border Patrol, and all other law enforcement workers, firefighters, all military, emergency and medical workers, that God would continuously protect them in their duties and keep them faithful, and that we would always be thankful to God for their work. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who stand in need of our prayers, especially Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Lane, Don, Dave, Randy, Francis, Chelsea, Russ, Joe, Craig, Tim, Linda, Norma, District President Kevin Wilson, Pastor Sampson, and the family of Catherine Wagenknecht, and the family of Ted Tiefel. That God would bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to every need. In thanksgiving for constant watch and merciful kindness, and that in every sorrow and every joy, God would not let our eyes be drawn from the greatest marvel of his kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom all nations may find unity and life. Hear the prayers of your people and grant what is needful to us and those for whom we pray, that trusting in your mercy, our hearts may find perfect peace and rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together the morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. said, the Christ, the Virgin born, grim death to vanquish for us, to open heaven before us, and bring us life again. Peaceful.